All right, we are again in the Gospel of Matthew. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, we'd like for you to have one so that you can follow along with us as we go through this passage. If you'll raise your hand, we'll get a Bible to you so that you can follow this. Again, it's Matthew, and it's in chapter 10 is where we are this morning. let's pray, and we'll get started in our study. Father, we thank you again for giving us this place, and for even more than that, meeting us in this place. Lord, we understand from your word that you are here, you are among us, and you desire to speak to us, to minister to us, to encourage us, to challenge us. So Lord, give us ears to hear and an ability to recognize your voice when you're speaking. Give us boldness to step out in the areas where you have called us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, in Matthew chapter 10. Now, chapter 10 is where we meet the 12 apostles. Jesus is sending them out. Again, he says to the lost sheep of Israel, not the lost tribes, because the tribes are not lost. We know he knows where all of them are. But he sends the 12 apostles out, and then he gives them a message. They have a very specific message to take. And the message was that the kingdom of heaven is near. And what he means by that is that it is right here. It is imminent. It is in your presence, in your face, if you want to say it that way. And then to demonstrate that what they were saying was true, Jesus gave them authority over the demonic spirits and over illnesses, diseases, to cast out demons and to heal people of every variety of sickness and disease. He also told them how to prepare for the trip. He told them what to take and what not to take. He told them how to make their way in each town. He said to go to the people who are of good reputation. You know, don't go hanging out in the bars. Go to people who are well respected in their city and stay with them. And then he begins to warn them. He says, and while you're out there, watch your six, because there are going to be people out there who are coming after you. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Said on occasion you're going to be arrested. You're going to be drugged before tribunals and judges and authorities, rulers, kings. You may even be flogged. But when this happens, he says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you will say. He doesn't say not to worry about being flogged. I'd be concerned about that. But he says, don't worry about what you're going to say to these men, because you're going to be given those things. At the moment, at the time when you're called to speak, to give an answer, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. He'll tell you. So don't be afraid of them. And whatever God reveals to you, in your quiet prayer closet, in your time in his word, those are the things you need to speak. Proclaim those things loudly from the rooftop. Speak openly. Don't let anybody hold you back. But understand the message that I've given you, it's not going to be received peacefully. It will divide households. It will divide families. In fact, if you're more committed to father or mother or son or daughter than you are to Jesus, then you're not worthy of him. It's a pretty strong statement. We get to verse 32, and verse 32 begins, whenever you see that word, it begins therefore. And whenever you see that word, you need to understand that the writer is coming to a conclusion. He's like a lawyer in a courtroom making his final point. Verse 32 begins, therefore. And so you need to know what has been said previously. Jesus is talking about their fear of men as opposed to being fearful of God. And he said, don't be afraid of men, because while they can kill your body, they can take away the physical life that you have, they have no control over your eternal destiny. So don't be afraid of them. Only God controls where people will spend eternity, either in a glorified state in heaven with him or ruined throughout all eternity in hell. Those are the two options. So don't sweat what people say or do, but rather proclaim openly what God gives you, whatever he tells you, whatever he shares with you, because you're not in danger. You are more valuable than anything in creation, so don't fear. He talks about sparrows being sold for a half a penny. I think they're even worth less today. I don't know anybody that would pay money for a sparrow. And he says, yet God tracks every single one of them, every single one. And you are so much more valuable than any sparrow. God's even numbered the hairs on your head. So, he says, fear God. We need to have a healthy respect, a healthy reverence for who God is, because, come to verse 32, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. So, because God controls life and death, because he controls where people will spend eternity, the smart choice is to acknowledge him, to submit your life to him. Because whoever confesses before men that they know Christ, that they have a relationship with him, Jesus is going to confess him, will acknowledge him. We know from Scripture that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father right now, every moment interceding for you and me with the Father. But those who deny Christ, those who say that, nah, I don't know Jesus, I don't want anything to do with him, I don't want anything to do about him, those people, Jesus will deny to the Father. He will say, nope, never knew that guy. Never had anything to do with him. Guys, this is a reference to the great white throne judgment that we see in Revelation chapter 20. It's the final judgment. It's not for anybody who is a follower of Christ. We will not be there. The only people who are at that judgment are those who have rejected him. Throughout the scripture, we read that humanity is divided into two camps. There are those who follow Christ and those who don't. And this is another example. Those who accept God and his plan as it is revealed through Scripture and through the life and ministry of Jesus, those are the ones who are in one camp. And those who reject God, reject God's plan, they are those who are in the other camp. This is the great divide of humanity. And all the consequences of that decision are eternal. So it's not something to take lightly. Well, in verse 34, he says, don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. Now, this is an interesting passage here. He says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's not so hard. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Wow. Now, wait a minute, you say. I thought Jesus was all about peace. You know, he came to bring peace on earth. What's the deal here? What's he talking about? Well, Jesus is clearing up some confusion. So what he means in this message is that he's not going to be received peacefully in this world. His message is not going to be received, at least this time, right now. There's a time coming. He's coming back, and at that time, he will bring peace. But presently, the message that Jesus brings is not one that brings peace in this world or peace with this world. The next time he comes, he's going to come with a rod of iron, and he will rule. He will take the swords of men, and he will beat them into plowshares. The knowledge of the Lord, it says, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We will not learn war anymore. That time is coming. But for now, the truth of his word brings a sword. It brings confrontation. It brings conflict and tension. His message of hope, it separates people. It separates them because it requires a decision from people. People must turn away from all the things that come naturally to them. And they must turn to Jesus. And guys, that's the battle. That's where the battle takes place. It takes place in every human heart. The carnal mind is offended by the message of the cross. That message is that we are all sinners by our nature. It is inbred in us. It is hardwired in us. We can't help ourselves. We are by nature sinners. And so we need a Savior. And most of the world rejects that idea. They just don't like it. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about the need to repent. Because it conflicts with what they feel about themselves. And too many pastors today have stopped preaching that message. Adrian Rogers, a pastor in the last century, said this. He said, the problem with preachers today is that no one wants to kill them anymore. I like that. Nobody wants to kill them anymore because they don't stand for anything. They don't stand up for what's right. The hostility we see in the world today is because there are these two systems. There is truth and there is error. There is light and there is darkness. And it's been that way since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. The violence that plays out on the streets of America today is not between Republicans and Democrats. It's between Cain and Abel. And I'm not going to say who's who. There are really only two types of religions in the world today. One says that man, by his sweat, by his effort, can attain a kind of righteousness that gives him the ability or makes him worthy of going into heaven. And that's the belief of every religion in the world except Christianity. Christianity is unique in that. Christianity teaches that the only way to obtain atonement is through atonement for sin is through a sinless sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a blood sacrifice to pay for our sin. And that is the blood of the Lamb. The only destiny we deserve on our own is hell. That's what the Bible says. That's what God tells us. But through Jesus, guys, we have a future and a hope. We have forgiveness of sin, but it is only through him. Jesus is so clear. He says, I alone am the way. I alone am the truth. It's him alone. On earth today, there is Christianity, and then there are all the other religious systems that try to tell you that you need to just, if you just work a little harder, if you just work a little longer, you can earn your salvation. The people of the earth, they design systems that are made to make us, to convince us that we can, if we just follow a certain program, that we will be good enough. And all of that is a lie. And so when Christians say something different, when we say, well, no, it doesn't really work like that, man, it upsets their apple cart. It turns their world upside down. When we tell them there's another way, another kingdom, and there is only one way to God, and that is to confess your sin to him, to repent, to turn away from sin, and to turn to God, they don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And I got my system. I'm working my system. It's working for me. Don't tell me that this is wrong. The message of Jesus cuts across the grain to what they believe. The truth, and that is Jesus, It destroys their mythology. And so Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us today, my coming will not bring peace. My message is not going to bring peace on the earth, but it's going to bring a sword because there's another system out there that is contrary to what is true. The truth, it brings division. It brings division, and it brings a cost. There is a cost to this. Look at verse 37. It says, the person who loves father or mother more than me isn't worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Wow. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that we're supposed to hate our parents. In fact, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. We're supposed to love, we're supposed to honor our parents. What he's talking about here, though, is idolatry. It is a form of idolatry. He's talking about people who value parents or value children more than they value Jesus. The child who has a greater affection for their parents than for Jesus, it's not worthy of Jesus. That's what he says. And parents who have a greater affection for their children than Jesus are not worthy of him. Guys, this is a word for too many parents and too many in the church today. I see parents all the time who are more fond of their kids than they are of Jesus. Now, they would never admit to that because they know it's wrong. They know that it's not the way it's supposed to be. But they let their kids drink, let their kids watch R-rated TV shows or movies because they want to be their kid's buddy. They want to be cool in their kid's eyes. It's not what they need. Guys, that is idolatry. They're honoring their kids more than they're honoring God's word. Your kids don't need another buddy. What they need desperately are parents. Parents who will set a standard. Parents who will do what is right. Who will do what is right in the home and then live it out in front of them. Guys, that's the hardest part. It's easy to stand up here and to preach a sermon on what's good and what's right and wrong. But to go home and actually live it out at home, that's the challenge. That's where it gets tough. But I got to tell you, hypocrisy is a killer. For moms and dads who come to church and proclaim, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, and then go home and live like the devil, you are destroying your child's spirit. You're setting the kind of example for them that will ruin them in the future. Set an example for your kids. The job of every parent is to teach their child to be godly men and women, law-abiding citizens, people that will contribute righteousness to their society. And then he adds, anyone who isn't willing to take up their cross isn't worthy of him. Now, the cross that Jesus is talking about here is not the cross of redemption. We don't have the capacity in ourselves to pick up some cross and die for people's sins. That's not what he's saying here. But every believer has to decide once and for all that they are going to love Christ. They're going to take up their cross and they're going to follow him. To carry the cross, it doesn't mean putting a bumper sticker on your car. Okay, I got my bumper sticker, I'm good. It means to confess Christ and to obey him in spite of the shame, in spite of the suffering. It means to die to self. Die to self. Guys, this is the bottom line. This verse, it recaps the previous two verses. We need to be willing to put self to death. We need to put to death our desires, our wants, our dreams. If we can do that, then we are worthy of him. But there will be a cost. There's always a cost for taking up your cross. Verse 39, he says, anyone finding this life will lose it. And anyone losing his life because of me will find it. He's talking about life here in verse 39. He means that the life in this world, in this present age. If you seek after and find what you're looking for in this world, in this life, if you find the job that you want, if you find the girl or the guy that you want, if you find the car, the clothes, if you're looking to fulfill your dreams in this world, you may accomplish all of that, but I can guarantee you a day is coming when you will lose it all. You lose it. None of it lasts. But those who are willing to lose all of those things for the sake of Jesus, they will find life in him. They will discover what life is really all about. Life isn't about income. It isn't about status. It isn't about clothes or the number of Facebook friends you have. The joy that we have, the joy that we can find in this life is knowing Christ, is finding him, is knowing that God is pleased with me, that he's happy with what I'm doing, the way I'm living my life. The people who try to hold on to this life are the ones who will lose it. They lose it every time. You know, you may have heard someone say, I've heard people say this, man, I'm losing it. I just feel like I'm losing it. Yeah, you are. And you will. Everything in this life is destined to be lost, except our love for God. If people would just learn to let go of all the things that they desire or the things that they have for Christ, they would find the fulfillment that they're looking for. They would find it. The quest in life, guys, is finding what is worth having. Finding the thing that is worth having. Well, look at verse 40. That's how the chapter concludes here. Verse 40, it says, the one who welcomes you welcomes me. And the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person because he is righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward. Well, this is the end of the instructions that Jesus gave the 12 apostles as he sent them out. And there's a blessing here, a blessing to all those who follow this. He says, anyone who welcomes you is welcoming me. You know, if you receive someone in the name of Christ, someone who has sent in the name of Christ, you are receiving Christ into your home, into your life. If you receive a prophet, you receive his reward, or not that he will lose it, but you receive a reward worthy of a prophet. If you receive a righteous man, you will receive the same kind of reward that he will receive. Even just giving a cup of cold water to one of the least of the disciples, and there's a reward in that. Nothing is overlooked. Not even the smallest little thing that you might do for someone. It's not overlooked. Guys, the kingdom of heaven is here. But it is us. I mean, we are the kingdom of heaven. But we're living in a foreign territory. We're living in a land, in a world where Satan is in charge. This is Satan's realm. We're told that he is the prince of this present age. And so life here, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth and cool. People are going to stand against us. Family members may revolt against us. You've been sent out like sheep among wolves. So keep your head on a swivel. Look around, man. Watch out. You need to be alert because there are people out there who want to do you harm. You need to be aware of what's happening around you. There will be times when you're going to be brought before councils, before judges, before rulers to give an answer. Don't worry. God'll speak through you. It may get so bad at times that brother will turn against brother, and kids even turn their parents into death. Things may get this bad. I don't know. But still, don't fear. Don't allow fear to rule your life because Jesus is with you. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. We have nothing to fear. He's going to protect you. He is going to rescue you. So proclaim. Proclaim what God tells you in the darkness, in the quiet time of your prayer closet, in your study time. Proclaim those things. Declare those things on the rooftop. None of these things are going to be hidden. It's all going to come into the light. So do not fear men. But we do need to fear God. We need to be aware of who he is. Give him the reverence that he deserves. The proper fear of God, guys, is the cure for the fear of men. If you are fearful of men, then you need to ask God to give you a proper fear of him, an awareness of who he is. God has the capacity to ruin people in eternity for hell. Nobody has that ability. No man has that ability. Only God has that authority. So we need to fear him. Fear him, but don't live in terror of him because he loves you. He values you more than all of his creation. We are of great value to him. And the proof in that is Jesus, that he sent his son to die on a cross so that we might have fellowship with God. How can anyone deny him today? I don't know. With all that's going on in the world today, the fear of COVID rules our lives. Anarchy is rising in the streets. There are threats of war. Guys, we are right exactly where the Bible says that we would be in the last days. These are the things that are happening. People around us are asking questions. I don't know if you're noticing this. The people are asking, what's going on in the world today? Why is all this taking place? Guys, we have the answer. We have the answer. His name is Jesus. The question is, are we going to be willing to take up our cross? Are we going to be willing to deny self? To deny our desire to be liked by other people? Are we willing to take up that cross and speak truth to the people around us? The truth of Jesus. If we do, we're going to be rewarded in eternity. But as his sons and daughters, I really think we need to take inventory. Where we are in our walk with him. We need to ask for forgiveness in those areas where we have fallen short. We need to ask him to help us reprioritize our lives. Ask him to help you to reorient, to get your bearings, to find your grid points in the Holy Spirit. Jesus could come at any time. There are so many convincing things taking place in the world today. Guys, it is imminent. It is coming soon. In eternity, we're going to be able to sit next to each other. No separation, We're going to be sitting in every row, you know. People won't be at home watching on TV. We'll all be together. We will all come together. No sickness, no death, no pain. It's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. As we're headed to that place where everything is right, everything is glorious, and everything is beautiful. We'll end there today. I'm going to pick up our study of Matthew in chapter 11 next week. Why don't you guys stand, and we'll have the worship team come and close us for today. But I hope you'll find time this week to read chapter 11, to read ahead, to see what God might say to you in your quiet time with Him. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to reveal to you those things that He wants you to speak to the people in your circle of friends. There is truth in this word. There is truth in the spirit that we have in us, and we need to proclaim that truth in the world where God has placed us. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for our ability to meet. Lord, we pray for our leaders who are making very, very difficult decisions, trying to do their best, I know. But Lord, most of them are not operating in the fear of you. They operate in the fear of man. So their decisions are not the best. Father, fill us with a sense of your presence, of your glory, of your great love for us. Father, let us know that we are your children. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.